science.
In science news this week, cosmic collisions, rethinking photosynthesis, and are kids as fit as endurance athletes? The ABC's Janelle Wiley is here to help me understand, well, everything. She's my research filter. Hello.
Hello, Patricia.
So scientists have spotted a galaxy collision. What happened?
Yeah, this is quite amazing. This is looking far back into our very early universe. This is looking at around about 1.4 billion years just after after the Big Bang. So it's quite impressive. And what they found is they found this cluster of what they call proto-galaxies. They found a cluster of about 14 of these proto-galaxies, and it's potentially building something that could be the biggest structure in the universe.
Okay, is this a common thing?
They have found these kinds of proto-galaxies before. They found them around about 3 billion years after the Big Bang. But this is really quite an early one and quite a large one. And it's quite astounding because at this point in time in the early universe, we're just starting to form stars and then, you know, some new galaxies and things like that. So it's actually very, very early in the universe.
Does it change our understanding of the way the universe works?
I think it's quite surprising. It doesn't change the way necessarily in our understanding of how the universe works, but what it is, it's fascinating to think about how so much hydrogen could amass so early in the early universe. Scientists are trying to go back as far as they can to work out what was actually happening back in this really early phase of the universe.
All right, let's move on to this next story, which I'm very interested in. A long-term experiment may have found a surprising flip in the rules for plant photosynthesis. Are rising CO2 levels good for plants?
Well, it depends on what kind of plants what we're talking about when we look at this piece of research. So what we had thought is that with increasing levels of CO2, that would be good for a type of plant called C3 plants. There are two types of plants, C3 and C4. And it just comes down to what happens after photosynthesis and the combination of carbon dioxide with carbon molecules and how efficient they are in being able to use carbon dioxide. So it was thought that C3 plants, which are the majority of plants such as wheat and rice and trees and flowers, that with increasing levels of CO2, they would actually grow faster and become more abundant, whereas the other types of plants, which are C4 plants, which are mainly grasslands, wouldn't have any effect on them at all because they're already really efficient at being able to use carbon dioxide. But what this research does is it kind of flips that on its head. What it's done is they've looked at these two different types of plants over a period of 20 years and found that the conventional wisdom is true up until around about the 12-year mark. And then it changes. So in actual fact, the C3 plants become less able to utilise carbon dioxide, whereas the C4 plants start to become very good and start to gobble up a lot more of it.
So it does change the idea that our ecosystems can absorb rising carbon dioxide levels, essentially.
It changes the idea about which ecosystems can do this. So instead of ecosystems such as our trees being the big carbon sinks, what this particular research seems to suggest is that there's a larger role for grasslands. Now, that's a good and a bad thing because it means that we need to look at grasslands, but also we need to consider that some of the plants that are C4 are actually weeds.
Wow, that's incredible. All right, there's new research out about why kids can run around all day and never seem to get tired. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we've always seen these kids being able to run around and you just wonder where they get their energy from. It comes down to the way that they have their energy systems basically evolve. So what researchers have done is that they've compared a group of prepubescent boys to a group of untrained adolescent young men and a group of elite athletes. And then they found that the prepubescent boys actually were able to recover much faster and maintain their energy levels than someone that was untrained, but also around about at the same level as somebody who was an elite athlete. But that's not to say that they're equal to an elite elite athlete, it just means that they're using different parts of their system. Their system hasn't evolved yet in terms of how they produce their energy and what's happening within their muscle system.
And how did they conduct the study? Why only boys?
Well, that's a really good question. I think perhaps potentially it just comes down to the study group that they selected, and then they probably wanted to maintain that in terms of gender. I don't know also if there were other issues there in terms of, you know, trying to have a consistency in biomarkers and things like that. But essentially what they did is that they assessed the basically the energy output of all of these groups, their oxygen levels, how much oxygen they use, their heart rate, and then they put them through a cycle test. So basically these tests where they built up over time and they had to do short bursts of cycling activity and then rest, and then they had to then cycle against a lot more resistance. So they had to be doing a lot more work, and then they'd have a rest and then another sprint and things like that. So that's what they did. They measured the different components at each part of the test.
It's really interesting. Can the study help us focus training efforts for athletes? Is that a kind of possible outcome from it?
It's more at the other end that we're looking at. It's more about what we should focus on with children, because it's looking at, well, children actually have quite a good aerobic exercise ability. So that's the ability to use oxygen and convert that into energy. Whereas once you become older, you're also using your anaerobic system. And that's what happens then, you know, for short bursts, you use your energy stores. But that also means that you end up with a buildup of lactate, and that's why you fatigue. But little children don't necessarily have that system developed yet. So with children who actually are very good with their aerobic activity, we at that point in time, instead of focusing on developing their aerobic capacity before they become, before they hit puberty, we can focus on other things such as their skill and their balance and develop those kinds of like techniques, and then focus on their aerobic capacity to see if they can maintain their aerobic capacity once they become a little bit older and the other anaerobic system starts to kick in a little bit more.
Janelle, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Patricia.
Janelle Wiley is a science writer with the ABC. This is RN Drive. It's coming up to news time. It's 7.